Hey everyone, it's Open Source Growth. Welcome. I'm your host, Dean Denny, founder and director of Owen Denny Digital. And in today's episode, I just want to go about disclosing what I've been personally up to over the past 2.5 weeks and what it will mean for you as a marketer. So, just to start off today's episode, guys, I want to say a big thank you to everyone who is tuning into this podcast. We've had a few new subscribers and a few new listeners come here over the past few weeks, and it means a lot. I'm just a guy doing this out of his study in Geelong, Australia, talking about software as a service marketing, strategies and techniques and all sorts of cool stuff which can help you grow your business. Like, that's the fundamental reason why I'm here, because I want to help you make your business blow up online. And with a software as a service company, that's all you really have. All you have is direct response advertising, a little bit of inbound content marketing, some strategy, some PR, some growth hacking, this, that, and the third. But you really don't have the blessing and the privilege of having someone walk past your billboard and be like, I'm going to use you today. If you're big enough, you may, but that's not the way it really works. But, you know, over the past 2 weeks, I have been blessed enough as giving myself a little bit of a success trip. Now, if you haven't heard of what a success trip is, I'm going to happily describe it to you today. A success trip is a trip that I would give myself if I met my targets. Now, just to disclose with you, December was the biggest month ever for Owen Denny Digital, and it really enabled us to really be so fiercely proud of everything that we've achieved over the past 5 years. You know, this business started from very humble beginnings as a freelancing operation when I was just literally on my own with a laptop, living out of my parents' house because I was totally broke, and I was literally freelancing at like $30 or $40 an hour. And that's how I, you know, managed to take my business, take myself off the couch, you know, earning a good living, and then building and blessing others with this skill, and, you know, building a team of like accomplished digital marketers. But that all just started in a bedroom. It really did, after a failed entrepreneurial attempt with an e-commerce brand. So, you know, we hit this wild milestone. I'm not going to disclose the figures, but it was a massive like 25, 30% increase in what we've ever done in a month. And we were so, so proud of that, as we are now positioning ourselves to work with larger, more advanced, more sophisticated software company clients. We're just so freaking excited. So what we decided to do was, you know, I spoke to my wife, Hannah, who is also the copywriter in our business as well. I was like, honey, if we hit, say, this monthly recurring revenue, we're gonna book a trip to Bali. And I remember writing down this literally about 14 days before we did it. And I was like, oh, we're not going to be able to hit that or whatever. Little did you know, bang, it was all sorted. It was all done. We blew through the goal in like 2 seconds flat. It was just the most surreal feeling. So here we were at the end of December thinking, holy smoke, we're going to have to book a trip to Bali. This is amazing. And, you know, Bali for me has such sentimental, There's such a sentimental place in my heart with Bali too, because whenever you go, when I went to Bali, the first time I went was to not only visit a client in Bali, as they had retail outlets in like Canggu, but it was the first time I was truly introduced to the digital nomad community. And I was a digital nomad for a very short period of time, living there in 2018. The nomad lifestyle isn't for me, right? But I just reminded me of all those times in all my youth when I was a single, like, you know, carefree guy or whatever. It just reminded me going over there to Bali to see all that. It was so, so exciting. You know, the last 2 weeks have been awesome. I got really sick, though. that's one of the worst things about Bali. You don't know what you're going to get. I ended up on an IV drip, even. It was pretty crazy. But, you know, like, I think Canggu's changed. Like, I really do believe it has changed. When I was in Canggu in 2018, Canggu was definitely the... It was definitely the heart and soul of, you know, digital marketing on the planet. I would say it's right up there with Silicon Valley as, like, one of the key outposts of e-commerce and digital marketing and SEO. Everywhere you went when you were at, say, Dojo Bali, or any of the other, you know, great co-working spaces, you would see like-minded, hardcore digital marketers, like, there and then, living their best life, drinking from coconuts, smashing Facebook ads. It was just, it was such a vibe, man. It really was. And going to Canggu again, and going just through Seminyak, it just really does kind of feel as if things haven't really quite picked up after the COVID-19 pandemic. You know, Bali's infinitely quieter. Going through Canggu, it didn't feel the same crowd was there. It seemed a little bit more like the cool kids from Seminyak pushed across to Canggu, and then the kids in Canggu jumped across and are now in Uluwatu. And in fact, I felt those same digital nomad vibes in Uluwatu that I once felt in Canggu. So I think there's been a real shift where the digital nomads are camping out in the whole, you know, be a digital nomad and live in Indonesia and live in paradise thing. And, you know, do the whole currency / wage arbitrage thing to live your best life on less than $50,000 a year. So that's kind of like where we've been for the last 2 weeks. But what's been awesome about that, going there, obviously, as a married man with my beautiful wife, Hannah, has been that it's enabled to give me some perspective on my business and perspective on what's going on in the world of marketing and how we are starting to see things and what's really valuable in enabling us to become the best version of ourselves, but also create the best version of our organizations. Which has now got me thinking about the whole AI-powered growth marketing team. Like, is AI-powered marketing the best thing for us? Will you get great results with AI? And the more I think about it, especially with the way things are, I'm going to be fully cognizant of this and I'm going to own it. I believe that I'm probably, like a lot of you, getting swept up in the hype of AI. Because AI gives you this illusion that you can just click a button and it's all done. It's not going to be like that for a very long time. Or AI gives you this illusion that you'll be almighty and powerful because you'll know everything before anybody else knows about it. That's not going to happen either. You still need to be an accomplished marketer. And if you want to do amazing work, if you want to enable your business to achieve T2, D3 growth on your terms, you know, triple, triple, double, double, double growth, double, 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 three times, right? You still need to be an absolute gangster marketer to begin with. So where I'm now stacking my own effort and opinion these days is into understanding big marketing strategy. Like, I think that's going to be the biggest thing. The most underrated, the hardest skill set to teach is going to become it has always been a well-paid commodity. No, it has never been a commodity. It's always been like the treasure trove of the chest. You know, it's been the thing that everyone really needs to pay for. But it's almost like love. You can't put a price on it, but it's the most valuable thing in the world. You need to have your strategy chops like absolutely dialed in and squared away. Because if you don't have those chops, like, going forward, you're going to be in shit. But the fact of the matter is, I still think that whole argument around, oh, AI is just going to do everything, content creators are gone, bloody, bloody, blah. That's still a moot point. I still don't think it's going to be a thing. However, though, if you are looking at building a growth marketing team, you'd be crazy not to incorporate it in the sense that, hey, we need lots of content. Great. You need Jasper.ai. Hey, we need to do some voiceovers. Okay, 11 labs. Hey, we need to do a whole heap of video editing, etc., etc. Use the script like we are. Oh, yeah, we need to go get pump out a whole heap of ad creatives. Okay, adcreative.ai. You know, there's so many things that you will still need to incorporate and use to get ahead of your competitors, where, you know, your competitors are only publishing 3 things, where you can publish 30 with the same amount of effort, right? So, like, you, if you are going to build a growth marketing team, hard code it so AI is, like, right there in the execution front, right? But don't think that you can shortchange yourself on the critical thinking that needs to happen before you execute that strategy. That is something that will not happen. Like, that, please do not shortchange yourself. Otherwise, you're going to be experiencing some pretty nasty ramifications of poorly thought out things and beautifully executed as still a poor outcome, right? See, it's funny. I always had a mentor tell me, it's like, Dean, you can have a really bad strategy, but you can execute it beautifully. You're still going to have bad outcomes. And that there's never been a time which that's rung more true than ever. You know what's funny? Like, I think with AI, we're going to have this belief that we can do so much more. We can run so much faster. We can have all the data at our fingertips. We can crunch the numbers and develop insights and stuff. Yeah, and that's all true. But there's going to be this desire for us to think that we can do more and more and more and more and more. But, you know, as a human, you could almost do more and more and more and more without the assistance of a machine, for the most pragmatic sense of the term. You know, you didn't always have to create 40 more social assets to get 10 times more ahead. Like, you may only need to create 5 social assets. If you create, you know, say 50, you may only receive 10% more, 10% of, you know, the marginal gain may be there, but you know, you've done 10 times more output. So, like, I think where I'm starting to lean with this whole AI-powered growth marketing debate is that we need to, and I repeat, we really, really, really need to just focus on delivering great strategy. Like, please do not discount having an incredible marketing strategy to begin with, which has been, you know, where the data's been gathered effectively, where the customer avatars have been profiled correctly. We've done the SWOT analysis. You understand the competitive landscape. You know the value proposition that you have. It's dealing and catering to the gains, needs, desires, challenges, and the financial barriers which your customer may experience. You know, that's where, you know, that's all the classics, you know, the four P's of marketing, all that stuff. That's what's going to be really important, because the execution, you know, the barrier to entry is almost, it's almost non-existent to be a creator nowadays. I probably still struggle with the video editing myself, but, you know, that's why I have a good team that can help me. So, you know what I'm saying, guys? Like, that's where I'm sitting at the minute with AI-powered growth marketing. But, as always, there's probably going to be a bit of a twist in this episode, because we're about to now disclose what may be the biggest... this may be the biggest change in marketing and anything that uses AI right now that we have ever experienced. And it is ChatGPT-4. What does this mean for you as a white collar professional, a blue collar professional, anybody who has a heart, a soul, a pulse, and the ability to wrestle with a keyboard and a mouse? This is going to be the most powerful thing you will have ever seen on the planet. What ChatGPT version 4 or GPT-4 is going to provide people to the marketplace with is contextual information in real time. What you can now do with the GPT-4 solution is provide you know, GPT-4 with an image, and it will then be able to delineate who each of the people are in the image and then how they may be interrelated. GPT-4 can also view and analyze information of live things on the internet in real time. You can pretty much copy and paste a YouTube link into GPT-4, and it would then spit out a summary of the video in seconds. Saves you having to pump out a 57-minute, you know, Jordan Peterson lecture. You can just go watch it all there online, and it'll be freaking unbelievable. You know? It is truly unbelievable. I've always struggled with describing what ChatGPT-3 can do. Because it's a lot like Aladdin's lamp. See, if you wanted to talk about those products which have such crazy value propositions, they're always super hard to describe, you know, when you've got Google, right? That was such a wild thing. It's like, I have any question I want on the internet, I can type it into this thing, and then boom, there's going to be an answer. An SEO-optimized answer, but there's going to be an answer nonetheless. See, it goes that step above it in the sense that it's like, not only can it provide me with an answer, but it can also create an informed answer and decision for me based on information I provide it. And then not only do you provide that information, you can then feed in live contextual information. Like this sort of technology could change so many professions. Like it could change, you know, it could change the financial trading desks. It could change the way we handle pandemics. It could change the way airplanes fly through the sky on autopilot. Who knows where this is leading? I'm gobsmacked by how this is all going to play out. Don't miss on this. Just get in there, get into the platform, and have a real good go. See how all of these things can help better and influence your day-to-day life as a product founder or product leader. The last thing I do want to speak about, though, and this is what I think is really exciting. We're now able to see, okay, cool, we can do all these crazy things, but how many people are actually getting in there and doing the work? I don't really see too many people doing anything. Which is great, because if you're cunning in your game, you can just go for it. So kudos to you if you're that person. However, the thing that I believe that's probably going to trump GPT-4 in terms of its ability to really change the game is the fact that GPT has been super freaking clever. And what they've managed to do is create an API which every single developer can just go bootstrap into their product. I think this is what's most exciting, personally, right now. Because if you have a great product and you want to be able to embed contextual information based on data that you've fed a system that can pretty much respond to you in real time, this is the moment you've been waiting for. See, my biggest criticism of Jasper, and please don't get me wrong and don't get misled, I've been using Jasper.ai for a very, very long time. I love that software. I was using that software when it was called Jarvis. In fact, I was using it when it was called Conversion.ai. I don't even know why they renamed themselves personally. With Jasper, they failed to create an API. I'm not sure whether they had the opportunity to create it, because I do believe they're built on the OpenAI technology. But ChatGPT has one. If you're a developer, figure out how to drill, how to use it, how to interrogate it. Like, do whatever you can to have functional outputs come from this system and build a better product. You know, we always talk about, you know, product-led growth. Oh, just do it so well. Build the product, which makes it viral and freaking blah-dy-blah. But, like, seriously, guys, this is the time to start leveling up your products. If you haven't already, check out the developer documentation which the guys at OpenAI have created, so you can then go about figuring out a way to implement this in your product. So that's it, guys. That's today's episode. I hope you've enjoyed tuning in. I know it's been a bit of a ramble. So I hope this has been fun. Don't forget to like and subscribe to this podcast. Really appreciate anyone who tunes into this podcast. Again, I love you all. And please do stay safe out there. Again, if you've got any further questions, feel free to shoot me a message. My email is dean.denny@owendenny.com. Otherwise, feel free to hit me up via Instagram, Dean Owen Denny. You'll see me there. Check out our website, owendenny.com. And if you need help growing your SaaS product online with the latest cutting-edge direct response advertising techniques and SEO-led strategies, hit us up. We're here to help. God bless. See y'all soon.